Well, good morning. What a tremendous blessing it is for us to come together to worship our God this morning. It is great to look out and see all of you who have come to do that. If you're visiting, we're especially happy that you can be here with us. We think about the privilege of approaching God in prayer, remembering His Son as we did in such a moving and meaningful way just a little bit ago, and to look into His Word for a while and receive encouragement from that. That's what we'll be doing for the next little bit. Title of the lesson is The Blessing of Asher. Most of us may not even realize that Asher had a blessing, but we're going to be talking about that this morning. Asher was, as some may remember, the eighth son of Jacob, born in Padan Aram, according to Genesis 35 and verse 26. And you will remember that Jacob, the father of 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel, and at different times, both of them struggled with infertility, and both of them gave their handmaids to Jacob to raise up seed. So Asher was born from Leah's handmaid, Zilpah. He had an older full brother named Gad. At Asher's birth, in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 13, Leah said, "I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed." So she called his name Asher. Asher means happy or blessed. I've heard of a couple of people whose names in English are happy. I always thought that was kind of strange. But Asher's name is happy. She, that is Leah, thought that people would call her blessed and happy. And in fact, I'm sure they did. And so here's a child, comes a man who all of his life, every time somebody calls his name, they're calling him happy. They're calling him blessed. And we'll see, in fact, that he was. Asher's descendants would ultimately form the tribe of Asher, inhabit the northwest corner of Israel along the Mediterranean Sea. And as the children of Israel are about to enter the promised land after the wilderness wanderings, you'll recall that the book of Deuteronomy is set on the plains of Moab, and Moses is talking to the children of Israel about their future, about the covenant that they've made, reminding them of the law of God. And as you come to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses blesses each of the tribes, no doubt speaking as the prophet of God for God. He blesses each of the tribes. And in a strange way, sort of, the last of the blessings that he gives is the blessing to the tribe of Asher. Asher's not normally thought of as the last tribe. He wasn't the last son. But the last blessing that Moses pronounces is to the tribe of Asher. And it's found in our text for this morning, Deuteronomy 33 and verse 24. I'd invite you to turn there. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 24. And of Asher he said, this is going to surprise you, "Asher is most blessed of sons. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your sandals," and some translations will say bars, "shall be iron and bronze. As your days, so shall your strength be. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you. And in his excellency on the clouds, the eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy before you and will say, 'Destroy.' Then Israel will dwell safely, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens shall also drop dew. Happy are you, O Israel." And yes, that reads in the Hebrew, "Asher are you, O Israel. Who is like you, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of your help, the sword of your majesty? Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places." So Asher is blessed, his tribe, we should say, in a number of what I think are astounding ways, considering how little we as Bible students normally think of the tribe of Asher. It's just you know, one of a litter of pups, so to speak. It's just the eighth of the litter. And we don't normally ascribe very much glory, honor, or status to the tribe of Asher. But Moses did, and God did. And I think as we, as Bible students, consider the Old Testament as a whole and the tribes of Israel particularly, who come to be the specially chosen children of God and who represent in so many ways lessons for us even today as the children of God, I believe there's a lot that we can take away from the blessing of Asher. For he was told that he would rest upon the everlasting arms of God. And the same promise, in essence, is given to us even today. Asher was blessed, and I want to look at a couple of things, especially in this blessing that are mentioned. Asher was blessed to be favored by his brethren. Even though, as we've said, he's not the most notable of Jacob's sons, nor was the tribe the most notable of tribes, Asher's pedigree was, from a worldly perspective, not that of some of the other brothers, not that of Judah, not that of some of the other brothers, but nonetheless, he's blessed. Children of God today are blessed, are favored, they're honored to be part of the body of Christ, to be regarded by their brethren with loving favor. No matter who you may be in this world, no matter how the world may have looked at you before you became a Christian, once you become part of the body of Christ, part of the family of God, the children of God, you are favored in a way by your brethren. You are blessed and regarded with esteem. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, Paul commands us that. He says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. So, it doesn't matter if your name was Asher or Ishkabibble or whatever it was when you become part of the brotherhood of Christ. You are favored by your brethren. You have a family, a spiritual family, maybe, that becomes closer to you than your physical family, that loves you perhaps even more than your physical family. It's a marvelous thing to be a part of the children of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul says that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. To me, that sort of fits Asher. Again, not the most renowned, not the greatest of the tribes, but blessed and favored by others, by his brethren. A Christian today may well have come from the lowest status there is in the world. In James chapter 1 and verse 9, James says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. In chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? I know there are some sitting in this room this morning who came out of poverty when they were young. Probably a lot of the older folks did. But it doesn't matter where you came from. God doesn't call great men of the world who have pursued their own glory into his kingdom. God calls lowly men who will pursue His glory. The apostle will write in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, "You see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And God has chosen the base things of the world, and the things that are despised God has chosen, the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord." This morning I want us to think about the blessing of Asher and to realize that if you're a child of God this morning, you have a place to take among the people of God. It is a place of honor and exaltation and work and labor. It doesn't matter where you came from. Take your place and honor your King, no matter who you are in the world or who in the world you are. Jesus was a carpenter. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, lowly, uneducated fishermen. Onesimus was a slave. My dad was a janitor when he served as an elder in the church. It doesn't matter. The story is told that Napoleon was in the field with his armies, and he was sitting on a horse one day looking at some papers while sitting on the horse, and he dropped the reins of the horse, and the horse reared up, might well have thrown Napoleon, had not a corporal who was standing by bravely rushed in and grabbed the bridle of the horse and brought it down and calmed it down and got it settled down. And the corporal is standing there holding the horse, and Napoleon looks at him and he says, "Thank you, Captain," and he salutes him. And the corporal doesn't miss a beat. And he says to Napoleon, he says, "Captain of what company, sire?" And Napoleon says, "Captain of my guards." And immediately, the used-to-be 5 seconds ago corporal, who's now a captain, marches across the field, ripping off his corporal's insignia as he goes, and joins the company of officers. And one of the officers says to him, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm the captain of the guard." And one of the other officers says, "By whose order?" And he says, "By the order of the emperor." We have been made soldiers of Christ, kings and priests, and we are blessed to be part of the family of God. Take your place. Believe in what God has done for you. The Bible doesn't tell us, and I don't know, how the people of Asher felt when they heard the blessing of Moses. But I can tell you how they should have felt. We are not behind anybody. We are part of the children of God. We will receive a part of the land promise. We will receive blessings from God. We have work to do as part of His people. And I frankly, had I heard the blessing to the tribe of Asher, I'd have been fired up to do it. You are. We all are blessed to be part of the family of God. A family that loves each other and that has work to do to glorify His name. Asher was promised also strength for his days. In verse 25, you might have noticed of Deuteronomy 33, "As your days, so shall your strength be." There's a song that we sing in our book sometimes, not a lot, but over the years, occasionally. Day by day is the name of the song. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Part of the song goes on to say, the protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. God will strengthen you for as long as you live to do what it is that he wants you to do. No, you may not always be able to do when you're older what you could when you're younger. But he will give you strength to do the thing that he wants you to do at whatever stage in life you're in. People of faith possess such strength. Paul had said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He was in prison. He was in prison. He had received help from the Philippians and from others. Sometimes it was a lot. Sometimes it was a little. It didn't matter. Whatever God wanted him to do, he could do with the support that was being given him. That's the context in which he makes this statement. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Could he evangelize? He did. Could he spread the gospel? He did. Could he encourage brethren all over the world from prison? He did. He had the strength to do what was needed. It was strength despite his imprisonment, despite perhaps physical weaknesses that he may have had. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, Paul had been talking about this thorn in the flesh that Satan had given him. He pleaded to the Lord three times about that, for it to be taken away, I presume. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, he says, the Lord responded to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul says, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So much of the time, we only look at our limitations, the things we can't do. We look at our poor health. We look at our age. We look at the limitations that society has placed on us. And we think of all that we can't do. But I want to assure you, and God wants you to know from the blessing of Asher, that He will give you the strength to do every last thing that He wants you to do. The strength is not yours, it's God's. It comes from Him, from His limitless power. People of faith over the ages have understood this. Hebrews 11 and verse 34 speaks of those who out of weakness were made strong. Made strong by whom? Made strong by God. Such strength comes, as we've said, from God's limitless power. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, Paul prays that we may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. In Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, Isaiah recognizes the power of God to quell our fears and to keep us in peace no matter what it is that we're facing. He says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. You know why God could promise the tribe of Asher, as your days, so will your strength be? Because their strength was coming from Him, and His strength is everlasting. Doesn't matter what your strength is. His strength, the strength with which He strengthens you, is everlasting. In Psalm 18, the psalmist recognized the strength of God in his life. Verse 29, he says, "For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He's a shield to all who trust him. For who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect." You'll notice in all of these passages, Ephesians, Isaiah, Psalms, that strength that is always there for us as God's children comes through trusting Him. If we're not trusting Him, if we're not, when we're weak, trusting His strength, it won't be there for us. We must trust Him to empower us to do what needs doing. Moses had said to Asher in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 26, "There is no one like the God of Jeshurun." Jeshurun is a sort of a nickname given to the people of God. It's used a few times in Scripture. And it means the upright. He's the God of the upright. He rides the heavens to help you, and in His excellency on the clouds. You might picture a couple of school-age kids talking about how tough their daddies are, you know. "My daddy can beat your daddy," you know. One of them says, "Well, my daddy rides a Harley." The other one says, "My God rides the clouds." How about that? Our God rides the clouds. He is powerful. He is swift to help His children. God's strength is available to us, as I've implied already, even as we age. Look with me at Psalm 71, if you will. Psalm 71. And we won't take the time to read this entire context, verses 9 through 18, but notice a few verses with me. Psalm 71 and verse 9. "Do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." So the psalmist is looking at a time, as he's writing this, apparently getting older, anticipating, you know, a few more years to come and becoming more frail as that happens. So his own strength is failing. But in verse 15, he says, "My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits." Doesn't matter how old I get, how my strength may fail, I'm going to still speak of your righteousness. And he goes on in verse 18 and he says, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come." Some of us know it all too well and are getting to know it more and more as the day goes by. As we get older and feebler, we lose our physical strength. Sometimes our mental faculties fade a little or a lot. Our ears fail of hearing. Our eyes grow dim. But underneath are the everlasting arms. I cannot forget my dear grandmother at the age of 95 in a nursing home, telling people about Jesus, bringing somebody to Christ, baptized for the remission of sins. Because the everlasting arms were underneath her. When you turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse 36, we come across a pretty interesting event. Jesus is being presented in the temple shortly after His birth. And there are some amazing happenings going on in the temple when He's presented. One of them is found in Luke 2 and verse 36. There was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. This woman was a widow of about 84 years, did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. How does a woman who's at least 84 years old, maybe older, depending on how you read that, living basically in the temple, all she's doing is fasting and praying, night and day. You know what? It doesn't take a lot of strength to fast and pray. But she was of the tribe of Asher. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. In 1887, a fellow by the name of Anthony Showalter was leading a singing school in Alabama. When he returned to his boarding house one night, two letters awaited him. They were both from former students of his, both young men, who had both recently lost their wives. Mr. Showalter wrote back, trying to comfort these two young men in the midst of their grief. When he came to the end of those letters, he was searching for something that would be meaningful to these two young men that would truly provide them comfort. And Deuteronomy 23, verse 27 came to his mind. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. God's strength is available for us when we age. God's strength is available for those experiencing trial and loss. Showalter thought about those verses, wrote those verses in the letters to his young friends. And then he wrote another friend of his by the name of Elisha Hoffman. And he said, "Elisha, I've got the chorus to a song. Can you write the verses?" And Elisha wrote the verses. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessed peace. We sang that song. A song that assures us that our God and Father still has His arms underneath His people. As Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, He is the God who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation abounds through Christ. The blessing of Asher teaches me that I have a place, a fellowship in which I am loved and in which I love to work. And it teaches me that God will be with me and strengthen me, whatever I'm facing, good or bad, challenge or trial, opportunity or not, God will strengthen me. We must never look at life as God asking us to do the impossible with impossible people, but to do what is within His power with people who love us. What a fellowship. This morning there may be somebody here who's not part of that fellowship, who doesn't know God or His children in this wonderful way. There's an invitation that Jesus offers to you. "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Take part in this glorious kingdom. Be a part of the children of God. Name the name of Jesus. Turn away from sin. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. We'll help you do that right now. And you can have this wonderful blessing in your life. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.